So this week, actually the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking about what to present to you this morning. And even toward yesterday evening, I was still kind of at a loss. I had a lot of ideas in my head, but nothing really. But there's a verse I ran into this week a couple different times in odd ways. And so that's how this started. I'm going to read from Romans 1, 8, verse 18 to 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which was against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain the knowledge, to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are inconvenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And that, the reason I read that, it really, to me, is a remarkable description of the world around us. Going about through life, worshiping the creature, says without natural affection, the amount of people that are so upset because there's a possibility that they might not be able to destroy their own babies. The vitriol that just, it's just a taste of what we see in the world today. Let me read something from from Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. That last verse I read, we're speaking of people of the world and the way it's going. These verses speak more to the church, I believe. It says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, specifically they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. They deny God in their works. They say they know him. The church today at large is denying God in both doctrine and teaching and in works. Tuesday evening, we had some people at our house, and we were listening to a message. It's by Dean Taylor, and he told the story of a true account of a young man who decided he needed to kill six people. Didn't really go into the details why or anything, but he left a diary. In his diary, he was sure he was going to heaven. Even the night before, he decided to do it. He planned it. He did a lot of planning. He knew what he was going to do. And the night before, he said, "I can't wait to meet God tomorrow after I do this thing." Because his pastor had convinced him that there was nothing that could separate him from Jesus. He was sure of it. But God teaches us something very different. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Y'all know this, but verses 9 and 10. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Galatians 5, 19 through 21. "Now the works of flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." It's pretty obvious. That's pretty straightforward teaching, but the church today won't even hold that up, in large part. That poor fellow was really misled. There is so much that the church has just ignored today. Really want to speak to, there's a lot of young people here, teenagers, young 20s, 30s. Think about these next few verses. 1 Timothy 3:15. This is the verse I was talking about that it caught my attention a couple times throughout the week for just in odd situations. But 'Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou may knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." That ground there is, it's speaking of a foundation, something solid. It's the pillar and foundation of truth. "And that without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, and received up into the glory." This is what I would like you younger people to think about. It's for all of us, but it says the pillar and ground of truth. The church is holding up the truth in this dead world, in this dying world, in a world that denies God. And I turned 51 this week. We're going by the wayside. You guys, God is depending on you to hold this up. I really didn't know why I kept thinking about this, why this verse stuck out to me. I've read it a million times. I never really understood the gravity of it. That, you know, Christ is the truth. Christ is the foundation. But it says that the church is a pillar and a foundation of truth in this world. Then, after I put this together last night, I read an email from somebody to us that was telling it. They specifically said that our teachings on obedience weren't biblical. They're too, we stressed obedience too much. They said that we held up marriage too high, that our teaching on divorce is unreasonable. They said that our teaching on modesty was unbiblical for some convoluted reason I couldn't even understand. This person that we knew and know and used to travel in circles like this, have this whole list of, they're just attacking truth. Now, how you apply truth, you can use it to abuse. And that's where kind of where they're coming from. It doesn't mean it's not truth. God says the children should be obedient to parents, the parents should be obedient to the church and to the government. It's very clear teaching. You can't get away from it. It says we should obey the elders in the church. It doesn't mean we allow abuse, but anyway, it's just interesting that after I did this, I came across that. So we have the truth of God's word. The church at large has thrown away a lot of these teachings. They've thrown away teaching of modesty. They've thrown away a teaching of the sanctity of marriage. They've thrown away the idea that Christians shouldn't go to war. Just one after another, that you know, that men can marry each other. That's allowed in the church, in a large part of the church. Over and over, we see the church dropping truth. The pillars are just falling down. They're just. But God also says there'll be very few that find it. There's a small. He's going to leave a remnant. You know, it sounds arrogant, but I think we have a lot of truth that I hope we'll continue, and the next generation will continue to uphold. I don't by any means believe we're perfect. The Bible says to be separate from the world. I think that's teaching that we could, maybe we all should think about a little more, including me. Okay, now I'm lost. I went off script. Well, there's a lot to say on this, and the scripture is just over and over to emphasize this. I'm just going to read some stuff from 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. It speaks to both. You know, the truth is not just teaching. Christ wants us to live out the truth. Anybody out there want to read Matthew 28:19-20 for me? Nice and loud.
Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
To tell them the truth of Christ, who he is, what he's done for us, and to obey him. That's our job. I'm just going to read. There's so much. I have so many things written down. I can't go through it all. But I'm just going to read 1 Timothy. It's a good. It talks about correct doctrine. And it talks about how we live. I'll start with verse 3, chapter 1. As I besought thee, start in verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, the ungodly, for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for man-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Skipping down to verse 2 or chapter 2, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself for a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher, an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and not a lie, a teacher of the Gentiles, a faith in verity and truth. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first born, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in the faith, in charity, in holiness, and sobriety. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacon be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy, filthy worker, lucre, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience, and let these also be first proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ. These things I write unto you, hoping to come to you shortly. We must teach the truth, but if we're going to do our job and teach other people, we need to live it too. I'm just going to read a couple more bits of scripture. I was going to read that whole chapter, but you get the gist. He's teaching us to live it out and to teach it true. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. This is to put us in mind, for the leaders to teach all of us this. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness of God, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord Savior. The church should teach that there's a new birth, that there's a regeneration, that there's a new life after salvation, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned in himself. If we are going to be if we are and are going to continue to be pillars of truth, foundation of truth, that the church, if we represent that, we need to teach all of God's word. We need to do it without apology. We need to show people that we believe it by our lives. There's so much more I could read here, but I'm gonna end it. Philippians chapter 4. I'm just gonna read a little thing that I think this really, if we can show the world this, it'll do an awful lot. It says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, true worker, helper, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We need to be a happy people. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Not always grasping for more. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious is what that means. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The Bible is full of it. We need to teach truth. We need to hold it up high. We need to rebuke bad teaching. The church is going astray. And really, it's going to be up to you young people in not very long. Time goes by a lot faster than you think. You got to decide, are you going to stand? Are you going to hold up truth? Are you going to go with the world to hell? That's all I got to share. Thank you.